Unfortunately, we're here. We're here.
So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meacha Meets presents
the Blur City Podcast.
All right. So we are coming on to this episode July 3rd. With this, the month of July for our podcast is purely Deadpool and Wolverine month. So next week, we are taking off. The week after, we're doing a character study of Wolverine, then a character study of Deadpool, just kind of breaking down those characters, backstories, motivations, different powers, ideologies of those characters. And then the week after both the Deadpool review, we're going to get into Deadpool and Wolverine movie review, something super hyped for, probably going to be the movie of the year, definitely movie of the summer. So, but today, if you've seen the title, unfortunately, we have to cover X-Men Origins, Wolverine, a movie that does not have a lot of love, to say the least. So it's something that a segment we're doing, deconstruction, reconstruction. It's easy to take something apart, but we go into it trying to put things back together, which we've done for several different things, including the Trashtastic Four, Spider-Man, One More Day. I feel like we did another, the Sony Spider-Man universe. And I feel like there was another one we did, but they're so painful to do, honestly. So before we get into that, let's hit them with Legal Spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, Fox, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion's advised strongly.
So is there anything you want to say before we hop too deep into it and I explain the segment?
Why am I doing this? I haven't watched this movie in years, okay? And for rightful reasons, and now I had to in order for this podcast, okay? But yeah, X-Men Origin Wolverine. Noah, right. We're going to get into it later. I can't.
All right, so this is being the first kind of like solo adventures of the Wolverine, very loose trilogy to say the least, but his set of movies. We have X-Men Origins Wolverine, we have The Wolverine, and then Logan, which is Masterpiece. So with that, I'll explain the start of the segment. So again, it's easy to just kind of take things apart, say why they suck, but with that, we aim to rebuild this different kind of medium. So with that, we work together to save, reboot, or redo a movie, TV show, comic, game, or one that is universally panned or failed to live up to expectations. The rules, pretty simple. Each person gets 3 vetoes, and if that a veto is a cancel idea or proposal from the other host, and you'll hear this sound. And then each person gets 3 lock-ins, which supersedes a veto, essentially to kind of say, hey, this is my idea. I like my idea. Whatever you say, I'm just going to keep it locked in. So to avoid pettiness, because the aim of this, again, is to work together, try to avoid saying, if you veto this, I'm just going to lock it in. And if you veto X, then I'm just going to veto Y. Particularly agreed upon ideas. So with that, as I mentioned before, the case study, X-Men Origins Wolverine. So we break this down into 3 parts. We have our highlights, the deconstruction portion. Meach, try to hold your luncheon. We got a lot to get into on this. And then we have the actual reconstruction. So with the highlights, the studio, the now defunct Fox, which we see the embers of in the new Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. The director of this movie, I looked it up, Gavin Hood. Box office numbers, which was actually really interesting to see. So the movie had a budget of $150 million, and it actually made $373 million. So that's like more than doubled its budget. I think also because a part of it could have been like X-Men 3 wasn't that great, but then when this came out again, it's kind of just like, oh, the hype of actually seeing a Wolverine movie. If you have any thoughts about that.
Oh yeah, definitely, because X-Men 3 The Last Stand did kind of put a bit of a damper on the X-Men brand for a little bit. And of course, we learned what happened with the director, which, but that was years later. That was years later. Mm-hmm. But in any case, like, yeah, throughout the entire trilogy of X-Men films, Wolverine was our central character, right? And what they were intending to do is that after X-Men 3, they were going to do like mini like prequel films, basically detailing the origins of the character. So yeah, it was going to be X-Men Origins Wolverine, X-Men Origins Magneto, and then X-Men Origins Professor X. Dang. And of course, the latter two kind of didn't happen per se. Instead, they both got merged into X-Men First Class. So yeah, this is, again, Wolverine solo outing, if you will, and we get to see a lot. All right.
Yeah, so that was kind of, again, something that's mentioned that was kind of covered in X-Men 97, or like highlighted, was Wolverine, as much as we love Hugh Jackman, being the central figure of the X-Men in all the movies. It kind of hurt it where we saw it in X-Men 97, where every character got so much love, where like it made everything more emotional, more impactful. So when we lost characters, when characters had big moments, that kind of tied in. But just to keep with the highlights of it, again, the budget thing was really interesting, how much money it made. But so this was all so interesting, the audience and critic reaction. So IMDb has it at a 6.5. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 38%. Cinema score was a B+, which is average if you see kind of like comparison to other hero movies. And then Metacritic had it at 40%. So it wasn't like to say it was universally panned immediately isn't accurate, but to say that it was beloved universally is also not accurate as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think like with this one, another like key aspect of this movie was the cast. Because, you know, you had, of course, returning huge Jackman, staying the GOAT as always, but in my opinion, Liev Schreiber as Victor Creed, aka Sabretooth, was perhaps one of the best done, but considering he was one of two,
mm-hmm.
he was definitely the better of the two, and played his role like as Sabretooth too well. I'm like, keep this man a Sabretooth. So that way, like, when I saw that, like, the original Sabretooth came, I'm like, dang it! Why?
I think he definitely did a great job, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, you got Danny Huston as William Stryker, those were pretty much my main ones. And, of course, Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson, specifically only Wade Wilson. That's all I can say about it. He was a good Wade.
And then the Will I Am part.
I was gonna leave him for last, but Will I Am, he was there.
All right. So next part, any other interesting backstory? I didn't actually know if the they were trying to do a Magneto by itself and then a Professor X standalone, which I guess makes sense when it combines it into the First Class movie.
Yeah. Pretty much. Other than that, like there's. Oh, yeah. There was, of course, tons of reshoots and tons of rewrites to this story. But all because of the fact that apparently the script, the original script that they were going for, got leaked. So they changed everything up because it got leaked. So I'm just like, okay, what was the original script? And I still don't know. And also another key interesting detail is the fact that despite how trash this movie is, it actually led to perhaps one of the greatest superhero games of all time. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest superhero games outside of Batman and Spider-Man. Like X-Men Origins Wolverine, the video game, gave you exactly what you want out of a Wolverine game, which is carnage, God of War-esque carnage, and even more carnage on top of that.
And speaking of which, there's a Wolverine game in development as we speak.
We just hope Insomniac continues to stay cooking. All right.
So that covers the interesting backstory. So for the next part of the highlights, what were your personal feelings leaving the theater?
All right. So I was a young lad when I went to this theater looking at this movie. I'm just like, okay, first going in, that's perhaps we start off. Going into this movie, I was excited, okay, because again, it's about Wolverine. He's my favorite X-Man at the time, and I was like, okay, we're about to see Wolverine about to get bloody and active out this mug. And then coming out of here, I left was like, what did I just watch? Because a lot of the things that happened in this movie were contrivances, did not make sense at all, straight up betrayed certain characters, and was just like, yeah, nah, y'all did not cook here at all, and wasted a bunch of other characters too. So yeah, I was just here like, no, to the point where I left the theater as soon as it ended, and I did not know that they had a post-credit scene for like years, because I was never going to go and rewatch that mess.
Yeah, it's very minor. So going into it, I'm with you. So Wolverine is top three Marvel character for me, and then top five just like all-time superhero character for me. So I was definitely excited. And like I mentioned, in all the other X-Men movies, they essentially made him the central character, even if the like X-Men 2 is completely centered around his whole entire backstory. Or X2, as they call it. So with that, kind of went into that. And then I saw it with my dad. So like 13, 14 around the time when it came out. I actually relatively enjoyed it leaving the theater. I think something that I'll get into later of why I think people hate it more today than when it actually came out. But leaving it, because like it had action to it, but like there are different parts of the movie where if you compare it to the third movie of the Wolverine trilogy, you're like, whoa, this pales in comparison. So I'll definitely get into that. But leaving the theater, I didn't hate it. I'll say it could have been like, I wanted more from different characters. And then like even with the Deadpool thing, I was really confused about how they handled it, because at first I was like, is this supposed to be Deadpool? But not knowing that, okay, because they definitely called him like something else. So what was good about the movie, still on the highlight portion of it?
Okay, so I mentioned it before, but yeah, Sabretooth was a fantastic antagonist. Like seeing Logan again, like he, like seeing some of like primarily the Weapon X sequence where he gets the adamantium and breaks out, highlight scene of the movie as well. And just the fact, like, hey, Wade Wilson, like the fact that Ryan Reynolds was cast as Wade Wilson, I was like, that's a stroke of genius.
Mm-hmm.
They cooked with the casting. Now, execution wise, we ain't gonna talk about. But yeah, so yeah, and then the beginning sequence of the movie during the title sequence where they were where it was showing Wolverine and Sabretooth going through the various wars in history, showing off like, hey, we have slowed aging. It was like, yo, that's a good way of capitalizing, showing that like, hey, these fools are old.
Yeah, it's actually interesting if you mentioned like the Ryan Reynolds, because I was thinking like, oh, like he's always essentially been born to play Deadpool, but like even with that like Blade Trinity, it's kind of similar, the character he had in that, to the Wade Wilson that he ended up playing, and the Deadpool where it's like the funny guy. Also, it's actually interesting to see like how he went from like those hated movies to like so beloved now, where it's close to the same character, I'll say, but it's just the movie surrounding him is much better now.
Yep. I'll say like, just thank you to Fox for just thank you to Ryan Reynolds for like, nah, I can't let my legacy go as Deadpool go out like this.
Yes. I would say I like the last fight, but him having all those powers made it kind of somewhat ridiculous, especially if we like know what he is now. So going into that, here's the problem with the movie that I think it aged horribly. I think the main problem with X-Men Origins Wolverine is because it aged horribly. I've seen bits and pieces of the second Wolverine movie, like The Wolverine. I don't think it's great either by comparison. I don't know if it's much better or not, because I haven't seen it like straight through all the way, but like it's like one of the forgotten movies, I would say, while this one is the, hey, we hate it, and then jump to Logan. But I think like if you watch this movie and then you watch Logan, you're like, why did they make this movie? And then also with Deadpool. So when we get to the deconstruction, I think there's two things that definitely kill the movie in a sense, but I think it just ages poorly because certain characters and writing were handled so much better in later movies.
And also don't forget the fact that certain characters like appear in this movie, but they appear as completely different characters in later movies. And you're just like, hold on, the timeline is not matching up.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is acting like how they normally should be.
And then also with how Fox handled the X-Men, this was a very weird time because they like X-Men 1 or just X-Men, then X2, X-Men United, incredible films, X3, poor taste. Then we have this movie again, not great. I believe that it was X-Men First Class, which is actually a really good movie, in my opinion. Days of Future Past is the next one, Leonard.
Yep.
In it. Days of Future Past is one of the best.
No. It goes First Class, then it goes into The Wolverine.
Okay, because I thought there was something. Then it's The Wolverine, which, again, isn't talked about a lot. So I don't know if it's really good or bad or not. And then X-Men First, Days of Future Past is one of the best superhero movies, period, of all time. And the way they merged everything was seamless. Kind of what you mentioned, like how they handled certain characters, and then they're like so much better in that movie. And then we get into, is it Apocalypse and then Phoenix, Dark Phoenix?
I mean, technically Deadpool comes right after, but.
Yeah, I always think of that loosely.
It's like, technically it's Deadpool, and then it's like X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes, excluding the Deadpool movies, we have X-Men Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, and then...
It goes Apocalypse, then Logan, then Dark Phoenix, then New Mutants.
And three of those movies are horrendous, I think Apocalypse is more of a letdown than horrendous, but it kind of leads into like, okay, Fox, give it up. Disney was like, that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah, like we have to keep doing reshoots for New Mutants because it was supposed to be a horror movie, but folks was not having it. It's like, nah, we need to double cook. It's like, nope, you're doing trash again.
The New Mutants release was the funniest thing of how it kept getting delayed, but we're sticking with where we are. I guess now we can get into the deconstruction portion of it. So what do you want to take out of this movie?
Firstly, all right, first change number one, get rid of those CGI claws because y'all had it perfect in the previous movies of just the practical claws. But for some reason, y'all wanted to do CGI and it sticks out like a sore thumb. Okay. Yeah, that's change number one. Get rid of them stupid CGI claws.
Is it CGI in Logan?
No.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. It might be in the Wolverine, though. I'm not.
No. Literally, this is the only movie where the claws were CGI.
Dang.
They recanted real quick.
All right. So I think there's one that I'm going to use my lock-in for. Because in the reconstruction part, we're going to talk about this character, whether we want them or not. The way they handled Deadpool.
Lock it in.
The Merc with a mouth needs a mouth. If you have to pause that, we have to pause that.
No Diddy, but yeah, definitely need to do that. I think like for me, another thing we can actually kind of take out, because if you think about it, really didn't contribute anything to the movie, and this character is so beloved. And he could have put in work elsewhere.
And now you're talking about.
Get rid of Gambit.
Yep.
Get rid of Gambit because it makes no sense for him to be in that movie as old as he is, considering the romance he has with Rogue, who by the time of the X-Men movies is a teenager.
Yeah.
So he could have worked so much better as like another teenage love interest to kind of square that love triangle that was Kitty, Bobby, and Rogue. Add Gambit in there, bam, everybody happy.
Yes. Something I want to take out, I don't want to necessarily take out this character, but I want to take out his relationship to Wolverine. I think I want to get rid of Sabretooth and Wolverine being brothers or half brothers. Is that not comic accurate, right?
It kinda is, but also kinda not. It's been like retconned so many times.
Because I was doing research and then it would be like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I do want them to kind of know each other. Maybe not brothers, though. I low-key want him to still be one of the main ops in the movie, but I think the brother arc I want to take out.
Interesting. Oh. I don't know how to feel about that, because then you'd have to explain like why is his power so similar to Wolverine's.
Yeah, it's something we can discuss. I It's interesting because, like you mentioned, like the how they did the montage at the beginning of the movie is really incredible, and that relationship. I just think that if we're gonna fix this story, I think we need more emotional impact with it, and maybe making them somewhat related. Maybe, well, if we make them cousins, we might as well just make them half brothers. Is the thing. So.
Exactly. It's like you might as well just go all out.
We'll
make it.
So we'll put that on hold for now. What else are we taking out?
How in the world Wolverine lost his memory? I'm locking that in right now. We should not have him losing his memory to a bullet.
An adamantium Glock to the brain.
Just like, oh, boom. And let me just shoot him one more time for good measure. Boom. It's like, no. That is not accurate at all. And that actually makes like little sense.
In the comics, how does he lose his memory?
He literally gets strapped down to machines and they forcibly like machine removed it.
Okay. Is it like right after the weapon X adamantium implants?
Yep. And they do it to him so many times. Like actually every single government removes his memories of him working for them.
All right.
Well, where he doesn't even remember who he was.
So this is another big one. Do we want to take out the romance?
You mean you talk about him and Kayla?
Yeah. I don't know how much it contributed because when we get to the reconstruction, I don't want to build the story around a fridging.
So, okay, so you don't want it to go about him being fridged by his wife. Well, I guess one thing I kind of don't like is the fact that her working with Stryker the whole time to manipulate the boy. I was like, because at that point, it's just like, dang, just have Stryker there.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely can kind of agree there. Like, if anything, if he wants to have, like, a love interest, just make her regular. Mm-hmm. Give them the Magneto-Negro treatment of, hey, I got a regular love interest, and she gets put in a pack. But, yeah, so it doesn't matter to me if you want to, like, remove her or not. I think, for me, it's just remove her connection with Stryker. That's my only deal.
All right, so we can definitely take that out, the Stryker relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I think like another one for me is a few of these Weapon X members definitely did not even need to be there. The primary one is like, I forgot his name. I think it was like Chris or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who just has like, oh yeah, I can mess with technology. I'm like, sir, who are you? Like even I was like, who is this character? And he's a very obscure member of the New Mutants.
Are we taking out Blob as well?
Yeah, because of the fact like I see Blob as more of an X-Men villain than as a Wolverine villain. I like for me, I would want like more Wolverine-esque villains to be in this series, and plus he was not part of Weapon X as far as I can remember.
Okay, so this is Team X, as they call it. We have Agent Zero, the Marksman person. We have Wade Wilson, which will probably... That's going to be a big discussion. Teleporter John Rafe, which was Will.i.am's character. Fred Dukes, which I believe was Blob. And then Technopath Chris Bradley, along with Victor and Logan. So,
yep.
So do we want to keep the Team X?
I mean, it's kind of integral to Wolverine.
That's what I think.
So, yeah, it's like they kind of have to stay... Mm-hmm. It's just the members who might need to change up a bit.
All right. So another big thing, casting. How do we want to handle casting? Because I think some of those castings were perfect, but if we're taking some characters out, then obviously that entire character gets removed. And mm-hmm. I still want to leave some parts for the reconstruction before we actually start replacing people.
Man, I'm trying to think, like, in terms of character, like, casting that I would want to change. I mean, not really too much, because...
I think for who we still have in, I think it's perfect casting.
Yeah, it's like, who all we got is, like, is good. It's just the fact, like, oh, I just thought of something. Ooh, some people. Okay, certain characters that definitely need to go. Are we doing this just... an isolation, or we're taking like the future movies into consideration, like First Class and whatnot?
I don't want to touch anything related to Logan because it's perfection. First Class is technically a prequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine. So
it's because of one specific character.
I low-key want to keep it isolated, but throw it out.
All right. That girl who just turns into Diamond and is supposed to be Emma Frost.
That girl who's supposed to... Not Emma Frost?
It was supposed to be Emma Frost, but that was not Emma Frost. That was not her at all.
And then number two?
Technically, Cyclops.
Mm.
Technically, because like, yeah, he's there, and he's like used to give not Deadpool his ocular powers.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
that's true.
The only other reason he's there is just so we can show, like, hey, there's Professor Xavier, who's bald and is walking.
Let's take Cyclops out. Let's keep Emma Frost in.
You better not name her Emma Frost.
And Emma Frost when we do something like that.
It's like, because she was named Emma. I'm like, nah, no, you not. You ain't a baddie.
Oh my gosh. All right, so any other bad story beats that we want to take out into the movie? Timing of the movie when it came out or anything like that?
Get rid of the movie in general, but yeah, I can't think of anything. Oh yeah, also another thing that I realized about this movie as I'm like looking into more backstory is the fact that this is one of the few Marvel movies where Stan Lee did not cameo in.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to the GOAT, but that tells you something.
He didn't want to be associated with it. All right, so I think with all that we've taken out, we get to the hard part of the reconstruction. But before we jump into that, let's hit you with a sponsor break.
All right, so for our sponsor of the day, we have none other than the Weapon X program. Please, if you have very special abilities and want to serve your not corrupt government at all, please come and enlist into the Weapon X program, where you and other like-minded and other similarly powered individuals will go and handle the issues that our government will not. Come and join Weapon X today. Full disclaimer, your memories may or may not be intact at the end of this session. We cannot have any liabilities or loose ends.
All right, so for the reconstruction, which is probably the hardest part of this, we discuss cast character changes, clarify the timeline, the direction of the movie, build out the tone, and then build out the plot as well. So with that, I think make it R.
Thank you. Immediately. Immediately.
So yes, making a movie R-rated doesn't necessarily make it great, but it can keep it in tune with the character depending based on the writing. So just want to throw that out there, but we definitely should make this R.
Because if you don't have a Wolverine specific movie, we need to see him cutting up, literally.
All right. So for a lot of this, I have more questions than details, just to kind of help frame this. But do we want to keep it as an origin story?
I'd say you can, because of the fact, like, hey, it's one of those things that it was a mystery throughout all of the X-Men, and wait, I actually have a good framing device for this movie, to where it's like it's firstly, it takes place in the present and Wolverine finally gets like his memories back. And the rest of the movie is kind of like a flashback / you seeing like the memories that he forgotten. Like he could like literally it can like start off with him murking like one of the Weapon X individuals. And they either say some type of keyword or they strap him into a machine and like actually give him his memories back. And he remembers everything for the first time. He's like, oh, so that's why. And then it cuts to him flashing back the rest of the movie.
Okay. So if we do this, I'm trying to see how your family is. So if we do this, is it kind of like Titanic-esque where it's, oh, you get your flashback and that's the course of the movie, then you flash back to the present? Or is it kind of like, hey, this movie is taking place in the present, but we're consistently going back and forth to help tell the story of the present?
Because I definitely want to like frame it like it's definitely going to be giving me Titanic-esque of like, or it could even be like, hey, like everything's taking place in the past, But then, like, it cuts to a scene in the present of him remembering all of it. It could even be something as simple as what I mentioned is earlier, or it can be just as simple as him, like, in the bar one day, and then suddenly, like, he has that jolt, and, like, a tear goes down his face, and it can be, like, Professor X or some other mutant be like, "You're welcome, Logan."
Yes, because, like, for one way, if it's, like, Titanic-esque or kind of framing like that, we're only having to tell one plot, but if it's in the present and we're going back and forth, we essentially have to tell two plots. So, okay, Titanic-esque of remembering the story.
Yeah, and I definitely want to, like, have that aspect, like, his origin, like, at the beginning of, like, him as a kid, and then his claws popping out for the first time, and him accidentally killing his real father. Like, I thought that was, again, that was fully comic accurate, and, like, what happens to him initially. And, of course, the aspect of, like, him and Sabretooth, like, going to wars and seeing, like, Sabretooth slowly devolve over time.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that, in the flashback tale, something that's been important, obviously his canon event is getting the adamantium into his system. Is that beginning, middle, or end? Because that frames how much we have to tell the story.
I say, like, kind of lean it towards, it's like, it's not exactly the middle, but, like, make it closer to the beginning than it is towards the end.
Okay.
Because, like, him having the adamantium is going to lead to him getting problems later.
Okay. So with that, since we're keeping it to the beginning, process, similar to the original movie, who's going to be on the new Team X that we have?
All right. So in terms of who is actually on Team X, of course you have Victor and Wolverine and Wade. Definitely want, like, all three of them to kind of, like, play off each other. Because, you know, you got, like, straight man, you got the comedian, and then you got the psychopath. Like,
yeah.
Like, you can, like, them three is definitely, like, they should be tied at the hip, all right? Agent Zero technically is one, so he can stay. Will.i.am technically can stay, too, because we, unfortunately, we're gonna need somebody to get killed. I don't want to fridge the black man too early. Actually, no, let's have his death be later. Let's have his death be later. Yeah, and then, of course, actually, if we want to, like, keep somebody, we can have, like, Kayla in there, like, but, like, go by her actual name of Silver Fox.
Okay, yeah.
And just have, like, zero romance in there whatsoever.
I'm keeping the, looking at it as not as well. Who is Mastodon and Kestrel?
All right, Kestrel, that's Will.i.am.
Okay. Oh, and, so they just named him something different in the movie than what his actual character is?
Yep.
What are we doing?
And then, and as for who in the world Mastodon is, I have no idea who that man is. I've never seen or heard of him before in my life.
Okay, there's also a Maverick. So, have you heard of that?
Maverick, that's, that was Agent Zero.
Okay, so I guess those are just going by their real names. It's just stuff. Okay, so we got mostly, we can leave, I don't know who Mastodon is either, so we can leave that out. All right, so what's the turning point, essentially? So we kind of keep it the same as, like, oh, they start, like, losing control, becoming essentially monsters, realizing their weapons, and he leaves?
I mean, yeah, you can go that route. It's, like, kind of like doing it to where you're showing more of Wolverine having a conscious and humanity rather than versus Sabretooth, who's giving in to his bestiality. Like, have it be to where, like, a similar situation where they were both given orders to, like, exterminate, like, this entire village, and Wolverine, like, comes across, like, these kids and, like, parents, and they're like, hey, we're not gonna violate the Geneva Convention here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we don't even know if the Geneva Convention would have been around by that time, but you know what I mean. But, and then, like, Kree's like, hey, orders is orders. Slice, and murder all of them.
I actually think we can do a romance. It's just, I didn't want to do the fridge part of it, but I think we can have a romance with Wolverine and Silver Fox where it's just like, hey, we see that Wolverine is like kind of touching his humanity, but Silver Fox, and they're like talking about leaving, but she is still kind of like locked down with Stryker. So she is like, I don't want to say losing her own humanity, but she doesn't care as much about like being civil as much. So she's closer to Victor in a sense than she is to Logan. So like with that, he feels betrayed, and that's why he ultimately ends up leaving on his own part of it.
Oh yeah, and that makes sense too, because considering that her character works for Hydra.
Oh Lord.
Ooh, we cooking.
Like her character literally works for Hydra, so
So that'll also make it easier for her to be the one to pull him back in for the Weapon X, the Weapon X program.
Yeah, make it her rather than going directly with Stryker.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I can't seem to remember how much of like the Weapon X stuff was talked about in X2, but
it was like a big plot, because remember they went back to the facility and then he had to fight. It wasn't
Lady Deathstrike.
Yes, that's who we had to fight with it as well.
I was just saying, like, we need to like make at least one of my main goalposts is to make sure it does not contradict anything that happened previously.
Hmm.
Because if it was talked about, we need to make sure like those specific things that happened in X2 happens in this one.
That's fair.
So yeah.
All right. So essentially, he leaves. Silver Fox pulls him back in, but how do we actually get him to agree to it? Because in this original movie, she's murdered essentially by Victor, and then he loses to Victor or Sabretooth, and then that's why he's like, oh, I got to get stronger, I got to get it. If we're not going to do the route of, oh, Silver Fox just dies, and she's trying to convince him, obviously, like in the movie, she had the ability. Was it her or her sister that had the ability to like manipulate your mind?
That's her.
So maybe she does it in a sense where she manipulates. She pulls the Gen V.
Yeah, she could be like the one to manipulate him. And you can like have it questioned throughout the movie, like whether she was manipulating him or not. And by the end, it's revealed that, yeah, she was. It could be like that. Or it can be to where, hey, Sabretooth is gone off the deep end and he is going after former members of Weapon X.
Mm-hmm.
And he did beat the absolute tar out of Wolverine. And
we can do it like that, where it's like you said, Will I Am's character, Kestrel, he dies, right? So that could be the first step. And then he's like, oh, I'm targeting people. Then he pulls up on Victor, pulls up on Logan, beats the crap out of him, and then he essentially leaves him, where it's like, hey, you're not as strong as you used to, this is a waste of my time. And then Silver Fox pops up and is like, hey, he's targeting us, I know how we can stop him, trust me, let's go back to Stryker. Also, quote unquote, may or may not be manipulating him this entire time. So now we have our reason, we have the pull and motivation for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can take it like that, and I actually like that point initially, because it's just condensing a lot of things. Now, next question is, what the heck happened with Wade?
Ooh, that was a big question I had written down. Do we want to have Deadpool in any capacity as like true Deadpool in this movie? Because at a certain point, here's the thing about certain movies, like with X-Men, you can always have a lot of characters, but there is a point where you start doing too much, which like some of the Spider-Mans, particularly the 3 and then the Amazing Spider-Man 2 suffered from, versus like you're doing way too much and you're not gonna play.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want it, because like killing him doesn't make any sense, especially if we're gonna have multiple Deadpool movies later.
Unless like you frame it as like, ooh, wait, hold on, I might be cooking here. Wolverine and Wade, they're still friends, and they like still like buddy buddy.
Mm.
And Wade gets taken out first. Well, taken out first.
Yeah.
But then like maybe as the post credit scene, it's revealed that like his mutant factor, or technically not mutant factor, his regeneration starts kicking in, and he's just back.
I have a question for villains too, because I was looking up multiple villains because I didn't know how I wanted to handle a Sabretooth in this movie. Because I was thinking of like long term. How big of a villain is Wendigo?
I mean, not really too much. He's more like a monster of the week type. It's like, oh yeah, I'll deal with Wendigo like maybe two issues at most and then keep it pushing.
Because I'm thinking if we can have one more villain to team with Sabretooth, then it can be a situation where it's like, oh, an explosion happens. He killed Wade Wilson. Oh, I'm sad. And then by the end of it, Wade teams up to help Logan.
All right, know who we can pull.
Ooh.
Omega Red.
Ooh, okay. We cooking.
Like, yep. Because if you remember, Omega Red, he got beef with Logan. He's, if I remember correctly, he's also like one of those, he's kind of like part of the KGB. He was basically part of the KGB's version of Weapon X.
Mm-hmm.
So he's Russian Wolverine.
So how do we team him up with Sabretooth? Since they were like essentially diametrically opposed to each other.
It could be that. And it could be to where like, hey, like Wolverine is like beating the mess out, like in the flashback, well, not flashback, but like in the previous, like while he was with Team X, manages to take down like Omega Red down a peg or two, giving reason for Omega Red to be salty and to have like issues with Wolverine later. And of course, Sabretooth always going to have beef with Logan no matter what.
Okay.
So it's going to be
I think I might know how to frame it. What year do we do this? Because with a certain year, it can be after the fall of the Soviet Union, thus freeing up Omega Red. But I just don't know timelines. That's tricky.
Dang. Okay. Dang. So that, if we're talking about like the end of like the Soviet Union, that's like
the 80s, right?
That's like 80s to 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to like his origins as Wolverine, like, because the movies take place in the 2000s.
Exactly.
So you can't like have too small a gap because he still has to like go through murdering folk, change a heart, gets memories erased, be a wanderer for like X amount of years.
I mean, if we do, I believe the fall of the wall, the Berlin Wall, is that the right one? Well,
yeah.
Like in the 80, like 83 or 82, somewhere in that range. So if we kind of do it like that. But wait, I mean, we're going to make Wade really old, technically.
Then again, he doesn't age, though.
That's true.
Like, he has this, like, him, Sabretooth, and Wolverine, they're, like, the main characters who you can have,
that's
like, in all the movies, and it makes sense because they do not age at all.
So let's do this. So let's have it where it's, like, like you mentioned, he takes down Omega Red during the height of Soviet Union or whatever. And then, like,
during the Cold War.
Yeah, Cold War. So then they're down bad. And then Victor at some point recruits him. He's like, hey, you want to get your lick back? I also have beef with Logan as well. We kind of need to flesh out what his actual beef with Logan is, especially if they're half brothers. That's kind of like why I was like, I don't know if I want to keep them as brothers or not, because then we see in this movie, they teamed up at the end. If they still have that connection as brothers, we actually need to show why there's such a separation of it. That's the difficulty of keeping them as actual family.
I mean, okay, you can do that and like not keep them as family. You can also have it to be like, hey, I just realized the only person that is allowed to kill you is me.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh, wait, hold on, cooking, cook moment. All right, so Omega Red, like, one of his big things is that he has carbonadium, which is one of those, like, metals that goes against adamantium. And you can have it to where, like, Omega Red starts getting more and more, like, carbonadium, becoming more powerful. And maybe either he, like, betrays Sabretooth or, like, because Sabretooth, I don't remember if he has like some adamantium in him, but if he does, then that gives you, oh, he does. Oh, in the comics, he does have adamantium in him. Oh, there you go, right there. So both of them got adamantium. Omega Red, he's like, hey, anybody who got adamantium in them gotta go. And he's like attacking Sabretooth. he's attacking Wolverine, and both of them, they're like, hey, let's put our beef to the side because we got to take out this guy.
Wait, so if we're going to do, if that's, it's, that's the thing, we might as well just be like, hey, Omega Red is hunting down Task, Team X members, rather than it's being Sabretooth. And then we don't necessarily have to have Wade Wilson, and that way they still team up at the end.
Mm, yeah. Ooh, okay. We have Omega Red be the one taking everybody out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Wolverine thinks that it is Sabretooth who's the one doing it.
Mm, okay, yes.
And both of them, like, and for most of the movie, we all think that it is Sabretooth. And then it's revealed slowly that it's actually Omega Red. And because, like, Sabretooth, he won't care to explain himself. He just wants the smoke.
That's fair. Okay, and then so with Wade Wilson, maybe, I'm trying to think, because at a point we won't necessarily need him if we just want to write him out. But at the same time, I don't want to have our movie get made fun of for years by Ryan Reynolds. So what do we do?
I mean, so you don't want to fake fridge him, right?
No, like, if we do that, I was thinking that, like, okay, Wade is teaming up with Logan against... it's teaming up with Wolverine against Sabretooth and Omega Red. But if we switch it to how we are now, which is like, I like that, I don't necessarily need a 3v1. You see what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes. A good reason to take Wade off the table is, again, for Omega Red to hunt him down, take him out first, and leave it up to speculation to where...
Maybe. I'm trying to think. He does like the fake explosion thing where he survives, and then Logan and Sabretooth, you know, have their battles or whatever. We see, oh, the appearance of Wade Wilson, and he's like still mortally wounded in a sense, and he's like, hey, it wasn't Sabretooth that did it to me. So he's like the one that tells them what happens, or like while he's telling them, that's when Omega pops up, and it's like he does have some helping scene, but since he's so mortally wounded, he has to, you know, go get medical treatment, which is where he learns that he's really sick. And he's like, oh, Wolverine, you just went through this program to get adamantium. Let me go through a different program to get my power. So that's essentially how we push him to his Deadpool origin story while kind of just like keeping it more tightly focused as a story.
Maybe. And if we're doing all that, now the real question is, okay, what does Silver Fox have to do with all this now?
Maybe with that, instead of her manipulating Logan, Silver Fox, she is able to pull him back in because, well, maybe it's still, she thinks it's Sabretooth the entire time. And then she's like, instead of her coming after Sabretooth beats the crap out of Wolverine, she's like, hey, something just happened to Castro. He died. Another person that could get killed off, Agent Zero, maybe he got killed. It has to be Sabretooth that's doing this. I'm recruiting you to take him out because you're the only one that can do it. Sabretooth beats the crap out of Logan, and she's like, and then that way she's able to convince him to go get the adamantium. That way it's not manipulating, it's just that's how he gets recruited back in a sense. So we can kind of wipe that story subplot out
potentially.
And
yeah,
it's like still the same way to get there.
Yeah, and again, I also still love the fact, like, she can still be a villain. It's just,
yeah,
it's just the fact, like, hey, whose team she own could be either Team Striker.
Well, Hydra technically worked with, the people behind Hydra technically worked with the people behind the KGB for a while. So, she's working with Omega Red, and... See, this is where it's difficult, because if she's working with Omega Red, I don't see why she would want to get Wolverine to have the adamantium is the only thing. Because yeah, she could be like, yo, Sabretooth and Wolverine can take each other off the boards and you can come in and clean up the mess. But if she's taking him to get the adamantium, maybe she has that plot, but then William Stryker comes in to do it and she's like with Omega Red. She's not the one that convinces him to get the adamantium. It's Stryker himself.
Or maybe it's because of the fact that, hey, Sabretooth already got adamantium in him. in order to label to level the playing field, we need to get Wolverine to do it as well. And whoever gets taken out first, you come in with the carbonadium to take out the survivor. And the one thing, but the one thing she didn't count on was the fact that the two of them would realize they're both being manipulated in the first place.
I like that.
And goes, and like, it could be a 2v1 on Omega Red, or we could have it to be like, hey, one person's taking on Omega Red, the other is, and probably Sabretooth, is murdering Kayla, and then comes back to 2v1.
That's fair, that's fair. And yeah, so would Omega Red be strong enough to 2v1 them is my thing.
Listen, this is our movie. Comic book wise, he can take on Wolverine.
Okay.
I have no idea if he can take on both. That's the thing. We've never seen that happen where Omega Red fight both of them.
I don't want to add an, necessarily another villain, but is there like a maybe a sub villain that we can add just in case? But or we can have it after like Omega Red pulls up after they have a big battle themselves in a sense, and like that way it's like, okay, maybe we can get two battles out of them where they're licking their wounds, even though they both have healing factors, which is the tough part.
Yeah, but again, with that carbonadium, it's going to like restrict the healing factor a bit.
Okay.
So yeah, you could have them like fight it out, and he's and they're weakened. Or in case you really, if you really, really want like a side villain, Mystique. That's like literally the only other option I can think of right now.
I think what we can do is say, okay, Sabretooth beats Logan. Logan gets the adamantium. Then they both get like he gets his get back. They're both weakened. Omega Red makes his first appearance. Essentially where we're kind of having like Wade also trying to reveal that. So Omega Red makes his first appearance, beats the ever-living tar out of the both of them, and it's a big reveal of like, oh, they're fighting each other, they're almost both dead. And then Kayla pulls up and it's like, yo, why are you here? Well, Omega Red comes, beats the tar out of them. I mean, like, beats by Dre. Meech. Sonic rings are getting knocked out. And then they're like, while they're licking their wounds because he has the carbonadium, they're still in a weakened state, and they're like, hey, we have to team up, boom, because, you know, we're brothers. You know, maybe they talk about their time in Team X and why Wolverine had to leave. Sabretooth is like, yo, this really hurt me. You were kind of like my rock, my anchor, moral anchor. Obviously, he becomes evil later on, but we're focused on one story. Because necessarily the Brotherhoods of Mutants aren't, you know, Magneto is right. So
Magneto is always right.
So with that, while they come back, they get their get back on Omega Red. So I think we can frame it like that.
Yeah, we could.
All right, I like that. Lock it in?
Lock in.
All right, so my only thing, let's specifically do Wade's plot line through this movie, because there's a way we can just write him out and it'd still be fine.
All right, so in my opinion, I'd say like, hey, have Wade like, again, post like Team X, he's still trying to be buddy buddy with Wolverine, thoroughly annoying him. Give us kind of like what Peter Parker does to Wolverine in the comics, where like even though Wade's like buddy buddy and like annoying the mess out of him, Wolverine kind of secretly enjoys it. And again, like have him kind of like fight Omega Red kind of like off screen, or you like don't see like who he's fighting, and have him kind of like get killed in a way. And then from there, it's like his death would lead to what, Kayla being like, hey, this Kayla, or even Agent Zero be like, hey, this person's hunting us down, Wolverine, help. And then of course Wolverine goes and do the help. And then later on, like Wolverine and them, they actually end up with, like, Wolverine and Sabretooth's fight end up where Wade Wilson's body would be. And that's when he's like, they're like, they see Wade and like, oh crap.
Yeah, so maybe he's being held hostage or something like that.
It could be either he's held hostage,
Or he hid away, something like that.
Like, he could be like in a cave, kind of like trying to like nurse himself back, but it's like too much. And then they like, all right, let's go get you help. And that could be like one of the first time all three of them start acting like brothers again.
And if they're in the cave, they're leaving the cave and they just see Kayla standing there. And it's like, yo, how did you know we were here? What's up?
Yup. And then
boom.
No, and then boom's right behind them. They're like,
yes.
And, oh, you see it like explode right behind them. And then all you see is just the red Omega symbol.
Oh my gosh.
And that's when all breaks loose.
Oh, we cooking. All right.
And, okay, yeah. But then with that, like, right. Okay, so then they're fighting Omega Red. What happens with Wade?
Essentially, like, they kind of put him off to the side because Omega Red is more focused on those two. And then let's say, like, I guess in the midst of their fight, they're causing such a disturbance that, you know, local authorities, yada, yada, start coming out. And then Kayla's like, yo, we got to go. We can't let people know that you're existing. We're supposed to be undercover. So they dip or whatever. And then so with that, with Wade, they do take him to get some help. And it's like, he's like, oh, Wolverine, how did you get these claws or whatever? And so it could be like a post-credit scenes where he's like in the hospital and then Stryker pulls up. I know it's not Stryker that necessarily does the like the program to help him get his powers, but it can be Stryker. Or I was looking it up. Is Dr. Cornelius? I heard his like he's kind of part of Wolverine's story, but sometimes it's retconned and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Cornelius. Oh, man, I have not heard this man in a while. Hold on, give me a second. Dr. Cornelius. What the heck is that? All right, Dr. Cornelius X-Men. Abraham Cornelius, one of the people who played a part in his origins. Yep, he's one of the people.
All right, so maybe, like, since he's hiding off, they take him to get help, and he's like, yo, when we were in Team X, we were essentially all brothers. I know you two are brothers. We're all brothers. I consider you my brothers as well. You guys have to put your differences aside to team up because no one else can stop Omega Red. Let's close the ghost of the past, essentially. So with that, that's kind of the end of his arc within the movie. And then we just do a post-credit scene where it's like, oh, you undergo what you had to go through in order to become Deadpool.
Yep. All right. Boom. Easy.
All right, cool. So just to kind of wrap up, once they defeat Omega Red and then Kayla, how does he lose his memory? And then also when we flash back to the present, is that just the end? So that's like two questions I think we have to answer.
Okay, maybe, all right, so after everything's said and done, he goes back to Stryker, basically to report like, hey, yo, Kayla's a turncoat. Or he can be like asking around like, hey, where did Wade go? Because he's like, hey, what happened to Wade and whatnot? And then he goes and then Stryker like menacing is like, hey, we may not know exactly where he's gone and like what happened to him. Or can even say like he died. But like because I want it to be like, okay, I want it to be to where, like, he does go through either the machine or, wait a second, was his son born yet? The son that was born
not
in
Hitler. Oh, God.
Because it could, wait, because if the timeline's right and his son is born, literally use him to be like, mink, to either erase his memories or have it be Kayla, ? Kind of like,
but I thought Kayla gets done in by Sabretooth.
Dang it, you're right.
Okay, what if we do? Is the evil clone X-24?
Yes.
So maybe with son, are you talking about Dakin the son or
no? I was talking about William Stryker's son, okay. From X-2.
So maybe we can just have X-24 already exist. He like essentially. It's like, oh, you're way too dangerous to be let loose now. You and Sabretooth. So he like essentially, you know, we see him get stabbed in the chest or whatever. And then that's able to like, they're able to restrain him because of this and then wipe the memories. And because they take him off the board, Sabretooth now loses his brother. And then the person that comes in to like guide him is now Magneto, Brotherhood of Mutants.
Okay. I like that with the Magneto angle. Not so sure on the X-24 angle, though, because if it's X-24, that presumes that X-23 is already alive and active. And we know by Logan, she hasn't yet.
She could be in a tube, maybe? Maybe it could be Lady Deathstrike.
There you go. There you go. Lady Deathstrike. And that ties it in with X2. It's like, hey, Lady Deathstrike is the one that, like, is the one that impales him, holds him down long enough for Stryker to wipe his memory, not with a bullet.
I mean, bullets can wipe your memory for a bit.
Oh, so it can wipe away memories from a person who can regenerate.
That's fair. All right.
Nah, I'm not buying that.
So I like that. So yeah, Lady Deathstrike takes him out, and then that's the how he gets his memories wiped. Magneto recruits Sabretooth. And then when we cut back to the present, since we're telling a Titanic-esque story, is it just like he gets embraced by the X-Men family, and that's kind of like, you know, the end of it?
I mean, it can. We can also frame it to be like kind of post like Last Stand.
What if he's at the bar, right? He gets his memories back. However he gets it, we can rediscuss how the trigger. But he's at the bar drinking, and then we see Sabretooth walk into the bar, order a beer, cut to black in the movie. And it's kind of like them making peace in a sense or something like that.
Potentially.
Since that's going to be our emotional core of the movie.
Then how in the world are we going to explain them fighting in the... Oh, wait. Technically, they didn't fight in the first movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, dang. But he's still a bad guy. What if we don't do presents, but we do... When does Wolverine take place in the timeline?
The Wolverine?
Yeah.
That one takes place after The Last Stand, like, I think a couple years.
What if we do it after The Wolverine? Just the ending of him, essentially them making peace.
Okay, we can do that. You can do that. Or, oh my goodness, oh, this one's a heartbreaker. This is a heartbreaker. It takes place after, like the way he gets his memories back is after when he stabs Jean in The Last Stand. And like her parting gift right before she dies is unblocking his memories. And like it could be to where, and like it, yeah, and it cuts like him in a bar, like he's still like in there, and all he's going is like, thank you, Jean. And that can be like where the whole like him hallucinating her begins, because she's gonna like just appear there and be like, thank you're welcome, and then disappears.
And the Wolverine, does he hallucinate her?
Yeah.
Okay, I
get it. It's kind of like a guilt-based hallucination. It's like, hey, I killed you, and now I can't stop seeing you.
So if... I like that. So it can kind of be like that. He's like, thank you. And then I really like the Sabretooth, like, the make peace. It just, like, he enters the bar, sits down next to him, and that's the end of the movie.
Yep, they don't...
But it can't be...
They don't... But
it's Jean, if she's given that the gift, she also gives him the gift of healing with his family.
Yeah. And like, and Sabretooth doesn't say a word.
We are cooking. I like that. Is that what, do we have it?
Lock in.
All right. So just to give a summary to listeners. So essentially for the updated X-Men Origins Wolverine movie, keeping it similar, where it is taking place in the present post X-Men X3, The Last Stand. So Logan is at a bar getting his memories back based on the gift that Jean gives him. So flashing back to the past, we see him and Sabretooth growing up over time, keeping it similar, him still killing his dad, their aging is slowed down. So the Team X consists of Victor/Sabretooth, Logan/Wolverine, Wade Wilson, Agent Zero, who will be killed off, Kestrel, who played the Wraith character, and then Silver Fox. So with that, they take down Omega. We see them taking down Omega Red in a flashback. Over the course of just the time together with Team X, we see that Wolverine is in touch with his humanity. Sabretooth is kind of losing touch with it, becoming more and more of a monster. Are we keeping the Silver Fox, Logan relationship type thing?
I mean,
So with that, Wolverine is plotting to leave along with Silver Fox with their relationship, but it turns out that She is more in line with Victor's thinking and also Stryker's thinking than Wolverine, so he leaves. Ultimately, later on, we see that members of the team are getting killed off. We see also that Wade Wilson has a relationship with Logan, very partnership-esque. We see him also get quote-unquote killed by a mysterious character, which allows Silver Fox to then recruit Logan to take out Sabretooth, who they believe is behind taking out all the members of Team X. With that, he gets his behind beat by Sabretooth, which forces him to decide to get the adamantium treatment. After that, him and Sabretooth once again get into combat. They're both beaten down, but then they find Wade Wilson, who reveals that Sabretooth wasn't the one that kills him. As the three of them are leaving together, we see that Silver Fox is standing in the cave, and she has teamed up with Omega Red as the ultimate op, who then proceeds to lower their life force. Needless to say, this takes Wade off the board, who later on gets revealed that he's recruited, well, taken away to do his experiment, which turns him into Deadpool after he gets active in this one scene. With that, Sabretooth and Logan then decide to team up, both having the adamantium in them, to take down Omega Red, who has carbonadium. Ultimately, after that, Wolverine is looking for Wade Wilson, but Lady Deathstrike impales him, takes him off the board in order for William Stryker to erase his memories and all the duplicitous things that he has done, flashing back to the future. Also, once he's taken off the board, we see Magneto with a quick cameo recruiting Sabretooth into the Brotherhood of Mutants, flashing back into the current present, which takes place after definitely X3 The Last Stand, maybe also after The Wolverine. We see him making peace with Jean, who has unblocked his memories. Sabretooth walks into the bar, sits next to him, cut to black.
In post-credit scene, where you see Wade Wilson going through the process and meeting up with Dr. Cornelius to turn him into DP.
That's our new X-Men Origins movie.
Oof.
No, that was one of our more intense ones, I'd have to say.
Because we had to keep going back and was like, oh, how in the world are we going to do this and that and try to adhere to continuity and all that?
Yeah, because like for a lot of the other ones, we want to keep it canon. We were just like, because I mean, with the Sony one, we just erased everything and started from the top.
Mm-hmm. Creation comes destruction, and that one definitely need to be destroyed. And of course, Trash-tastic Four, Fantastic, again, that was on its own, so...
That helped destroy Fox as well.
Yep. Easy.
So that was good. So with that, with this being one of the main episodes, let's get into a What's Hot. So, Meech, what do you got?
All right. Anime-wise, we have Kaiju number 8, Cooking, One Piece, Cooking, My Hero Academia, The War Has Begun, Cooking, Demon Slayer. If you've seen that newest episode in the anime, you be seeing folks about to get active, and you about to see Zenitsu be completely different.
You also walking in history.
Yep, and you also see Muzan Jackson, and I'm surprised that they did not have Thriller playing in the background, because that would have made it perfect. That would. But also in other animated films, there's one that released on Netflix in June, and I just saw it, and it's actually incredible, called Ultraman Rising.
Hmm.
And it is touching, because like it's kind of like Kamen Rider / Power Rangers, except it's one guy who transforms into a giant warrior, and he ends up taking care of a baby monster, a baby kaiju.
It's interesting because I don't believe it's related at all, but I watched like the TV series Ultraman on Netflix, and it's really good, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ultraman Rising is fantastic.
Check it out.
Yep. Also, Go Go Loser Ranger. Cooking. Cook. All right. So that's all from there. All right. So from comics, the Blood Hunt is going on at Marvel. Yeah. They totally made Blade a villain. I'm not okay with that. They're going to have a black man turn to be the villain of an event and turn the other most popular black person in Marvel into a vampire.
We're going to have a Blade conversation, because this MCU things that they've been talking about and these delays, another time.
Another writer. Yes, another writer got taken out for Blade.
Did you see what the original plot was?
I did not.
Oh, it was going to take place in the 1920s. Remember, Blade is a black man. And it was going to be Lilith was going to want the blood of his child.
No. Okay, definitely they did the right choice by getting rid of the writers, but that movie ain't happening. Also, the Venom War is about to begin. All the Venoms are about to have war with each other. Peter Parker going to get the black suit once again, so we going to cook. Let's move to movies and TV. A Quiet Place Chapter 1.
I'm watching that tonight.
We about to go crazy. All right. We also see that there's more set leaks for the Superman movie. And I got to say that Mr. Terrific, he's looking very terrific right now. Just saying.
A lot of characters in that movie. I'm a bit concerned.
Look. We got to trust the process.
Trust James Gunn.
But also, speaking of trusting the process, in August, we have Batman the Caped Crusader dropping on, I think, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I know Kevin Conroy has, like, a part in it. It's going to be, like, one of his last contributions to society as he passed away. And then also, another show that dropped is Suicide Squad Isekai.
Was that a show or a movie? I wasn't sure.
It's a show.
Okay.
Cool. They got a whole, like, anime-style opening, you know,
Indie,
you know the ones where every character's...
I saw some of them on YouTube, yeah.
And I saw what they got Amanda Waller doing. I'm like, ain't no way.
That's... Whoever wrote that is down bad. That's all I'll say.
But whoever decided to make Peacemaker Dio Brando, y'all cooked. I ain't gonna lie. And then finally for...
Oh, it is a show. Yeah, it's a show.
Yeah, and then also My Adventures with Superman. I haven't seen it, but like I'm going to start seeing it because I've been seeing clips online and it is cooking.
Dude, we're locked in. I literally started it. I'm still on episode one, but I started it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen season two, clips from season two. I definitely want to lock in.
Yep. All I say is, Jimmy, my boy. But so if you've seen season two, you know. But Jimmy, my boy, he represents our culture. That's what I'm saying.
That's in trouble.
Nah. Well, actually, yeah. He. Dang. Hold on. Wait. If you're listening to this podcast episode, I meant nothing by it. You're still great. And he agrees with me. So, and then finally, video games. The Elden Ring DLC. Folks is losing their minds to the point where even the game developers were essentially like, get good. Because that DLC is, it does not play games.
It's a DLC for a reason.
Yeah, the only game it's playing is us.
Well, the thing is, like, if you think about their DLCs, because with Bloodborne, the Orphan is, like, the hardest boss out of all of Bloodborne. And that's a DLC character.
Sorry, I just had a PTSD moment to all the hours I lost. And also, they released another trailer for Dragon Ball Z Sparking Zero, Swords versus Fists. And we got to see my main... We see my main cooking. I like, yep. And in case you're wondering who my main is, it's Yajirobe. yes, it's definitely Yajirobe. You guys don't stand a chance against me now. You're about to see me go 100-0 with Yajirobe and Mr. Satan. All right, what you got?
All right, just to speed run it. So with that, going back into the James Gunnverse, Lanterns has been confirmed. It's going to be a show on Max, a live action that's going to be between Hal Jordan and John Stewart for those two Green Lanterns, and it's essentially going to be a true detective-esque story. You already took My Adventures with Superman, Maxine, the trilogy to the Pearl and X movies. That should be dropping July 5th, which is in 2 days from when you're hearing this podcast. Despicable. Are you okay?
Ooh, okay.
Despicable Me 3 is also dropping. You mentioned Crusader. So I saw earlier Godzilla Kong, technically part 3, is going to tentatively be released in 2027. And then also in July, Axel Foley, or Axel F, the next movie in the Beverly Hills Cops movie journey, is going to be released on Netflix. And then also The Boys and The Acolytes, which we are doing bi-weekly reviews for. All right. So with that, just again, housekeeping, we are going to take next week off. We're going to come back. Again, this is our Deadpool and Wolverine month in July. So we're going to do a character study of Wolverine, character study of Deadpool, and then a movie review of Deadpool and Wolverine. And then also, if you're interested, we're doing bi-weekly reviews of The Acolyte along with The Boys. So Meech, what you got?
Woo! All right, so let's go ahead and get into our plugs. We got ourselves our Instagram and our ex, formerly known as Twitter and Threads, account under BlurCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on our release schedules and information. We have our Discord, which is for degenerates only, linked in said Instagram page. We have our YouTube and our Patreon under Blurred City Pod, where you can donate a little extra cheddar, and then you're allowed to see episodes not here forever seen. Next, we have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. That's where you can submit episode suggestions, geek out, freak outs, random fan theories, criticisms about the episode, criticisms about us. Just know, if you see said criticism, it's going straight to the spam mail, because you know it is what it is. Finally, I'm the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram, and I'm also the Jedi Ronin on TikTok. However long we got TikTok left, what you got?
All right, so for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram. So that is Mitri_Dash. That is METRI_DASH. For my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, A Most Irregular Tale, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So with that, we are going to wrap up and with some words of encouragement. So anything that you got, Meech?
All right, so my main words of encouragement is to trust your instincts. Trust your gut, because you may never know, it might save you from a mutant hunting sociopath.
All right, so for my words of encouragement, sometimes it's okay to take apart something that didn't work, but the most important thing is to think of what will take its place afterwards, leading into your favorite quote.
Before creation comes destruction.
So like we always say, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.